You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for NZ On Air Music Presents Rewind.
Yeah, it is. Also, don't forget it's bloody old, New Zealand Music Month this month, which is great, as per usual. This week's Rewind is with John Toogood from Shehard. Thank you very much, New Zealand On Air. We love you a lot.
Hi, we're here with John Toogood from Shehard.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Pretty good.
So, you and Tom started the band in high school. What was the process of turning this into the four-piece we now know as Shehard?
It was pretty much straight away. We had most of the band just from being high school band B, actually. Like, the high school band A was a soul funk band, and it was sort of weird that we ended up having a career out of what we did. But yeah, we just met at school. Tom found out that I played guitar and said, here's a copy of Metallica's Master Puppets and AC/DC's Highway to Hell, and listen to this and learn how to play it. And that was like, okay, I'll give that a go. And then no one wanted to sing, so I ended up singing, which sort of suited me because I'm a typical Leo and I want everyone to look at me and I'm a show pony. So that worked out well for everybody. Then the only person outside of high school, was a guy called Phil, the guitarist, who came from Onslow College. And then he used to come down after Onslow, he'd finished school at Onslow and come down and practice at Wellington High School. And then Carl, who's the last person to join, joined a year later after we'd done our first EP. And he went to Kapiti College. So we're all sort of Wellington boys.
You recorded your first album in 1993, I think.
Yeah.
And since then you've released 9 albums. Do you have a personal favourite?
I got a personal three that I reckon we're really focused on. The first one is Killjoy, which I really like, just because it was like experimenting in a studio, and it was in a good era of music, and we had lots to sort of like draw from, both in New Zealand, like with bands like Bowder Space being really on fire, and the Skeptics still being together. And then from overseas, there were things like My Bloody Valentine on the Creation Records that we sort of incorporated into the sort of metal noise that we were doing. But it was good. It was like made us get rid of guitar solos and anything that was sort of a bit sort of wishy-washy. And I think Killjoy's really focused because of that. So that was a good record for me. General Electric's the other one, just because it's like really huge sounding, and it was recorded at the same studio that Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood was in Canada. And it sort of sounds like that, which I really liked as a kid. And so I was pretty stoked with sounding as fat as Motley Crue. And then the last one is Five Eyes, which is the last Shehard record, which was produced by Jazz Coleman, who produced our first record 20 years previously. And I just like it because it's sort of, I pretty much agree with everything I said on it then as I do now, you know, like it sort of, it makes sense to me, you know?
Yeah. So you've been releasing music for an odd 20 years with Shehard.
Yes.
How have you managed to keep the band together for so long?
We pay each other exactly the same amount, no matter who does what. That's, I reckon, just keeping it a complete sort of democracy in that way, makes everybody has the same to win or lose from it. So I think that was the decision we made, like, right from our first rehearsals in, like, Wellington High School band room, was like, okay, everyone gets 25% no matter what. So it means that you don't get those situations where the singer or the writer, you know, makes all the money and is travelling in first class and then everyone else is travelling in shit class. So it just means everyone's on the same page, everyone's got on the same mission, and it means when we get together, we've got as much to win or lose. So it just keeps everything equal, and I think that means there's no resentment, and it means everyone works really hard. But also, early on, I think we were lucky enough to see some really kick-ass live bands. Like, we saw Fugazi live at the Vic Uni Hall, and we also toured at AC/DC when, like, you know, we were kids, basically. And watching these bands, like, sort of smash the shit out of it and be really, really awesome made us go, oh, like, we've got so much to learn before we're anywhere near what as good as what our heroes were. So it's just been this constant mission to, like, just better ourselves and better ourselves, and we sort of got a taste of being a good live band And it's like, once you've sort of tasted that thrill, it's really hard to back away from, I think. And I love writing music as well on top of that. I really love creating something new. It makes me feel, I mean, that's what I do for my job. It's what I do for my living. So I feel validated when I actually manage to express something that's sitting inside my body or my brain and express it in a song and go, oh, shit, that was what I was thinking. Great. And that means I can sleep at night.
In 1996, at the New Zealand Music Awards, you won Best Group, Best Album, Top International Recording Artist, and Best Male Vocalist. Which of these awards was the most exciting to win?
You know what? Until you told me that, I couldn't actually remember that. But I mean, it's all good validation. You know what? Though those awards end up sitting on our supporters, you know, shelves, not ours really. Like, they're there to validate the support of our parents, to make them think, oh, well, it was good that I, you know, let them be in a band rather than tell them to get a job as a lawyer or a you know, someone in a bank or whatever, you know, or something more than what I, you know, in brackets, sort of normal. You know, I'm sure they would have shat themselves when I said, listen, this is what I'm doing for my life. But they, to their credit, they went, he obviously is really passionate about it, and they supported me. So all those awards always go to them. There you go. You chose well, you know. You let me do something I wanted to do, and it sort of worked out, you know. And I might not be earning as much money as if I'd, you know, been a lawyer, but I'm super happy with what I do with my life. So I think they're pretty stoked about that. So any awards, yeah, like I say, they go straight to them. But yeah, I think the best one is the most recent one, like winning Best Rock Album for Five Eyes. I mean, it's like I'm 45 years old, you know. I shouldn't be winning awards at a New Zealand Music awards thing. I shouldn't be, but I think that record was actually quite relevant and quite of its time, you know, and it's actually quite pure. So I was really, really proud of that, yeah.
Cool. And as well as winning awards for a very long time, you've been playing gigs for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favourite gig that you've played?
I always liked all the Big Day Outs. I mean, I used to love that because not only would you get to play on the big stage and, you know, in front of thousands of people, but you'd also go and see a million zillion different bands that you go, wow, I really love to see that band. So it was always a special festival for me. Like, you know, I could, on one day, I could see, you know, Primal Scream, you know, Ministry, Rage Against the Machine, Nick Cave, then play a show, then watch, you know, something else. And it would just be like, those were the shows that I really, really liked, you know, because it was just like a music overload, you know, like, and I'm a music fan. So apart from that, maybe on, not the last time AC/DC played, but the time before when they played in front of 62,000 people at Western Springs in Auckland, supporting them that night, I mean, like, literally that's as big as Palmerston North. Something like that, you know. It's like a city of rock, man, and it was like playing in front of that many people at in one blast. That's like three times a main stage gig at a big day out. Plus, we're supporting like basically what I'd consider one of the bands that are the blueprint for what I do. You know, like they've got the best guitar sounds in the world, and yeah. So yeah, play a show in front of that many people, then. You know, towel down and go and watch one of the best rock bands ever. So that was probably a special night as well, man. Yeah.
Yeah, get to be both the audience musician.
Totally. And that, I mean, seriously, like, I'm constantly in need of reaffirmation in my faith, which is music, you know. So I need to see shows that make me go, yeah. And those are those sort of shows, you know. Those
ones, like going to church.
Yeah, it's like going to church. You go, yeah, I am on the right path, you know, like.
Another big overdrive of music that you had was in 2016. You played three shows in three different cities in one day.
Oh, yes.
What was this experience like?
It was exhausting, but in a weird way, really exhilarating. Like, in fact, I think the last show was probably the most energetic show. I would have expected to be a bit more, it would have been around the other way, but I actually found the first show, because to pull off three shows, we had to start like at 12 o'clock or something in the afternoon, and that was in Christchurch, and it was, I love Christchurch, but I don't really like playing rock and roll at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just not natural, you know? It's supposed to happen after the sun goes down, you know? But that was the hardest one, but it was still cool that people came along and stuff and rocked out. But Wellington was mean. It was a meow, which is like really small, but it was just loud and really grunty. And then Power Station's like my favourite venue in New Zealand. So finishing there in Auckland was magic, you know. And I actually kept on playing even though we didn't have to, you know. It was really cool, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything coming up at the moment?
Yeah, man, I'm like so busy at the moment, it's not funny. It's like I'm in the middle of making the second Adults record, which is basically me and whoever I want to play with if they say yes. And this time around, it's sort of all based on recordings I made in Sudan with these sort of traditional female drum and vocal groups, because I married a Sudanese woman and got married in Khartoum and met all these musicians over there. And I was just like blown away by how funky it was, basically how groovy it was. And they're playing sort of, they're hitting like, you know, gourds, like pumpkins, half pumpkin skins, like floating in water and like tablas and dumbeks and all these amazing drums and then singing, but there's no musical accompaniment. So I recorded with them and now I'm sort of like mixing that with, because I really like playing bass. Like, that's all I did on the last Adults album, basically. So I just played bass over the top of it, and now I'm getting different people to sing on it, and myself singing on it, and I'm working on it with Devin from Pacific Heights, a sort of X-shaped shifter, and it's sounding really, really good. So I'm really excited about that. And on top of that, yeah, Shehad's already writing the next record, so I've got a whole shitload of music that's even more angular, sort of heavy take on the last record, darker, because the world seems to be even a darker place than it was 3 years ago. So I'd prefer if it wasn't, but it is. And
yeah, lots of rage to express.
Yeah, and it's so strange to me. It's just like the fuck, you know. This is like I'm a fan of when, you know, different nationalities collide and stuff like that. I'm a massive fan. I'm totally behind that, because the thing is, once you've travelled and you go, oh right, everyone pretty much wants the same thing, you know, roof over their head, food in their belly, safety for their children, you know, peace, basically. We've got, there's more similarities between everybody than there is differences, you know. It's just all surface level bullshit. So I find this whole isolationism and nationalism, I fucking hate nationalism, it's such bullshit because everyone's from everywhere else anyway, but I find it really, it's an affront to the way I believe the world should be. So yeah, so I've got plenty of rage going against the rage, you know, like yeah, it's quite interesting. So yeah, that record's going to be heavy, but there's that and that, and I'm also doing acoustic shows, which I've been really loving because that's what I started on when I was 7 years old. My parents bought me an acoustic guitar and that's how I learned how to play. So I've sort of gone back to that in a weird way. It's as thrilling as playing a heavy, you know, like a big band thing, because it's more naked and it's more scary for me, because if I fuck up, people are going to hear it. And if I sing a bum note, people will hear it. So I've just got to play better. And so it's actually quite good. Like, it's actually making me play better and think about what I'm doing. And it's also an opportunity to talk to people. It's really nice to be able to just stop and pause and go, hey, this song is special to me because blah, 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 blah. And I heard it when I was this old, and you know, and you should check out this band because they're mean. And so I'm getting to do that a lot more. So I'm sort of loving that as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's all the questions I have for you tonight.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad we finally got this interview done, because we've been trying to do it for about 300 years, haven't we?
Yeah, almost 300 years. I think it was 298.
That was Rewind, presented by NZ On Air Music.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.